This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score Baseball Insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday. Today, offering a third and maybe fourth opinion on Justin Steele's arm injury and wondering why Garrett Crochet sounded so grumpy. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Haw.
Morning, Doctor. Dr. Bruce. Can I call you Dr. Bruce?
You can. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at the X-ray. Let's take a look at the
goodness.
MRI.
You know, it's tense times out in L.A. We'll get to all of that. Cubs lost if you overslept or didn't watch last night and you stay up late. They lost 3-0 to the Dodgers. Bigger story, Justin Steele's arm situation. Meanwhile, here in Chicago, the Sox win 11-1 over the Boston Red Sox. Didn't see that one coming, not gonna lie, but we have a big show today. 9:30, 2005 World Series hero Scott Pezzegna will join us. 10 o'clock, Cliff Floyd from the Marquee Sports Network, your colleague over there, Bruce. 10:30, Chin Music. But let's start where we just alluded to, because I do believe, even though the Cubs lost 3-0 to the Dodgers, Tommy Edman hit the homer, Matthew Boyd pitched well. But the bigger story, Bruce, is what they talked about and discussed before the game. Justin Steele seeking a second opinion on his left arm injury.
And that's the you said it exactly the way it is. He is seeking a second opinion. And yesterday, Craig Counsell asked in the pregame by reporters there about what's going on, and will he need Tommy John? He bristled at that by saying, look, we're waiting for Justin to get a second opinion. He wants a second opinion. He wants to be able to be sure everything is the way it is by the first MRI that we took. So with all that in mind, is there a tear in the elbow? Is the soreness that keeps happening to him, and this is the third time in a year and a half, is this something chronic that's going to lead to surgery, or is this something that he's going to have to continue to pitch through?
Well, I think it's a concern, Bruce, because there are a couple things that when you start to connect the dots, or I guess look at the clues, and you are concerned because of his status on this Cubs rotation and on the staff, and frankly what he did the last time out, it was very strong. It was his third start, and it was third or fourth start, but it was very strong. And we heard from Carter Hawkins on Thursday on the Mullen Haw show, and Carter Hawkins alluded to Justin Steele dealing with this before, which I think came as a little bit of a surprise. I think your ears perked up a little right. bit as well. And then we heard from Craig Counsell on Friday about seeking another opinion, as you just well described. So I think that if the expectation was, or best case scenario was going into this, just going to miss a couple starts, it sounds a little bit like it could be more than that. And if you are like I am, like so many people in Chicago are, expecting the Cubs to approach 90 victories this season, that becomes much harder without your ace.
Yeah, and you're right, David. Let's roll it back. Outside of Imanaga, who was the bright new star, this guy's been their most consistent pitcher for the last 3 years.
No doubt.
And you look at the ERA, every time he goes out there, I mean, the first two times this year, not so good because he was coming off of a wonky spring training where he missed 10 days with a flu. This is a guy that can get the job done and gets the job done almost every time out. He's tremendously consistent. And again, if you lose a guy like this, you're not just losing a left-handed pitcher. You're losing a co-ace of your pitching staff. And that is significant, not easily replaced by the rhetoric you hear when media people like myself say they have depth.
They okay? have depth.
They
yeah.
have depth.
Yeah.
Is it?
They have depth, but not a prayer.
They have depth, but is it the quality yeah. of Justin Steele? The answer to that is no. It's not.
312-644-6767. How concerned are you, Cub fans, about this latest development in the Justin Steele injury situation? And if they do have to go into that depth, how far down do they go? Because I think you have several options. Number one, I think we'll see Sunday night. Jordan Wicks expected to pitch against the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball. Bruce, I think the reports were he's not starting an aisle, was moved off of that start. So I think Jordan Wicks gets the short-term look. Secondly, other options in the system. Colin Ray maybe stretches out to join the rotation. Cade Horton, is he on the radar if this is a long-term?
I don't think so. Not now.
Okay. Too
Not
soon?
Now. It's too soon. Well, first of all, let's analyze what Cade Horton is. Cade Horton, their number one pick from, I think, 22. Again, huge arm, number one rated pitcher in their system for a while now, third year. Injuries, nothing significant to the point where he's had Tommy John, but the reality is last year, David, after 34 innings, no more, mm-hmm. right? A total of 131 innings in his minor league career, right? So, and then pretty much big strikeout, big walk numbers for him. So how do you get from 34 innings to 125 or 130?
It's a fair question, yeah. and it's a reasonable concern. He also is 0-1 so far in two starts at Iowa, but his ERA is 1.23. He's got 12 strikeouts in seven innings, and he has only given up one earned run.
His stuff is nasty. Yeah, it is. So, again, there's a couple ways, you know, a baseball fan like us can cut it, and that is, do they do the White Sox thing with him? What's the White Sox thing?
Hmm.
Starting with Mark Burley all the way through Chris Sale and Crochet, and that is, you bring him through the bullpen first. Okay, do you make them bullpen pitchers and not starting pitchers? Or because of the fact that his injuries have limited the amount of innings that he can pitch, that is too much to ask from a pitcher to pitch 3 days a week. He's always going to be a one-day-a-week guy, and that's it.
An out-getter, a guy that is definitely coming up to help, but not in any defined role necessarily,
right.
Not every fifth day, but you work him along gradually. He can be a guy that you turn to maybe sooner rather than later if this Justin Steele situation is worse than we thought or originally feared. So that's another, but I think the third option is something that I think will be a constant source of conversation throughout this season if indeed Justin Steele misses more than a couple starts. And that will be the pressure that Jed Hoyer feels to go out. Maybe not now because it's way too early to start making deals, but to get a top of the rotation caliber starter in a trade, because you're going to need somebody to who's not just a spot filler in the rotation. You're going to need somebody who can win a big game when you need it.
Let's take that, which is a good premise, further by saying this is a year where he's already declared, he being Jed Hoyer, has already declared, we're going to win this year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
That's the understanding. And I think that's what makes you or compels you to think that if this is a long-term situation, long-term being this season or parts of the season, then your expectations haven't changed, but your roster has.
Right.
So you've got to serve the expectations, because the reality is, if you don't, you'll be gone.
But
or
you
might be gone.
But do you allow yourself, as a great baseball man, and Hoyer has been an outstanding baseball man throughout his career, as a baseball man rather than a guy who's in the final year of your contract, do you allow yourself to dump out of the farm system to win this year?
It's a dilemma. It really is, and we're going to be talking about it. That's the big picture reality and implications of this Justin Steele injury. Let's go back to the short term. Let's go back to Friday night in L.A. Craig Counsell addressing all the things we just talked about, and this is what he had to say about Justin Steele's second opinion.
Obviously, when I had the MRI, we're going to get some more opinions on it. We're kind of dealing with the same thing we dealt with last year, and for that reason, I think Justin wants to make sure, and we want to make sure that we got the right information kind of moving forward. So he's going to get another opinion, and then we'll go from there.
Distracting? Do you think that was deflating? Do you think it has any effect on professionals who have to compartmentalize? I just think that when you go on a road trip and you begin after having a pretty good homestand, news like this is unpleasant and unwelcome.
Well, putting these in different compartments, Counsell shifted quickly from we to he, okay? Mm-hmm. We want to get all the information. He wants to get a second opinion, okay? So I think that's important here. He wants to get a second opinion. That doesn't really tell us whether the first viewing of it showed a tear, or it's just the same inflammation, and he's not satisfied with the idea that they haven't been able to determine what's wrong. Why does it keep getting sore? It could be as simple, and I was talking to Ryan Dempster about this yesterday on the set of Marquee, of just the way that he throws the ball, okay? And that he might have to consider reworking the way that he throws it.
Mechanics?
Yeah,
mechanics. This could be a mechanical issue?
Yeah, it could be a mechanical issue. So, Ryan pointed out that, there's a term called hooking the ball for a pitcher, And he said, when we were talking, he said, sometimes it looks like, that Steele hooks the ball before he's pitching, that motion with the hand, before he lets it go. So does that have an extreme effect on the arm, on the elbow? So those are things that they have to look at as well. It's hard to change a 29-year-old pitcher who's had success. It's hard to say, hey, we need to change the way you deliver the ball. I don't know if it's even possible.
We'll get back to that throughout the program. If you want to weigh in, 312-644-6767. Ben Brown, Roky Sasaki back at it tonight. Two young right-handers at Dodger Stadium. Cubs and Dodgers. Pregame coverage begins at 7:35. Pat and Ron will be on the call for the first pitch at 8:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Bruce will continue to talk Cubs throughout the program, but let's go to the South Side, because White Sox and Red Sox, White Sox 11-1, I guess that showed the Red Sox announcers. Well, the real Sox, please stand up. So the White Sox, they scored more runs last night, I think, than they had in the previous week. So they definitely, finally, the offense came alive.
Did the Chicago White Sox find their new star second baseman yesterday?
Chase Meidroth makes his major league debut, and what a debut it was. He batted seventh in the order, and he started at second base. He was 1-for-1. He walked 3 times. He was as selective as advertised. That was his thing, right?
And then at the end, the White Sox thing happened.
What was the White Sox
thing
that
happened?
He came
out in the eighth inning with dehydration.
Well, it's been a long day. It's been a long day, Bruce.
I mean,
been there.
It had to happen. I mean, a perfect day.
He's okay, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, in the pregame, Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager who had him, as a young up-and-coming kid over there, just praised that this is going to be a really good ball player for the Chicago White Sox.
I think so. He looked like a gamer. He looked, even though Ozzy on the postgame on CHSN compared him to the kid in Sandlot, said he looked like the kid in Sandlot, which I think Ozzy can get away with.
So did the little hurt.
The little hurt. Chase Mydroth did start a second, and the White Sox scored 11 runs. And Omar Narvaez, he drove in three of them. He's the new catcher who was the old catcher. So Sox said it was their night. They were due, certainly, for that.
Really nice a pitching performance as well. You can't talk about that without
Davis
talking
Martin,
about Davis Martin.
Six innings, one earned run, certainly struck
first
out six.
First win since 2022
for Good
him.
For him.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you like to see him do well because of what he's overcome with his own set of arm injuries.
But the real news was
Garrett Crochet comes back. Garrett Crochet sounded grumpy. Oh, maybe that's overstating it. Maybe that's the way I felt after listening to Garrett Crochet. Because Garrett Crochet, we know what happened last year. We know all the things that he went through on his ascent as a starter, first-time starter last year. And how would you describe, you were there, how would you describe Garrett Crochet's address to the Chicago media? We'll hear from him in a moment, but I want to hear your take on it first.
I'm lucky to be with the Boston Red Sox. I'm lucky that they have paid me. I'm thrilled to be on a team where we can compete for a championship. I think that kind of sums it all up.
But that's not all he said.
No, I mean,
that's not. But that wasn't my biggest takeaway.
Well, let's listen to
what he had to say.
Yeah.
Here's Garrett Crochet talking about returning to Chicago and playing against the team that drafted him.
Just comparing to where I was a year ago, it's just, I mean, last year, obviously, with the White Sox, we weren't expecting to make the postseason. Everyone in the locker room was hoping to make the roster. This year, we obviously have bigger aspirations, and the sense of urgency was great in camp. The sense of veteran presence to your left and right, wherever you were in the clubhouse, was pretty huge. And it's just guys that have been there before. We went out and got Bregman. Rafi's won a World Series. Bueller's won a World Series. It was just it felt like it was the big leagues,
Come on. Come on.
Does that hurt your feelings?
My feelings are irrelevant. I think that there are ways to say that you are thrilled to be with the Boston Red Sox. And you are grateful the White Sox traded you to...
He went on to say that the White Sox took great care of him.
That was a swipe at the Sox. This is the big leagues. I'm in the big leagues now.
I'm not denying that.
He took a swipe at the White Sox.
But there were other sound bites where he talked about how the plan was to get him to be a starting pitcher and protect him. And he gave the White Sox and Chris Getz credit for that as well.
Okay.
So... But the reality of it is, here's a guy that's happy to be going to a team that is in the win-now mode, okay? The Red Sox last year were not in a win-now mode, okay? Let's be clear about it. They didn't have Bregman. They didn't trade for Crochet. They were kind of going through the motions last year. Now they have Bregman. They have Crochet. They are considered to be right there with the Yankees after the injuries to two starting pitchers for the Yankees put them back in the, back in the in
I
the
know,
group.
And so, those things are great and true, and I know that he is in a better place, and he's a better spot for his career.
Do you want to hate Crochet?
No, I'm not hating.
You're not a hater, right?
I'm not black or white. This isn't like either or. It's just that when you're evaluating all that he said, and I know that he said those things that were perfunctory almost, but polite. He also just took a swipe at the Sox, and it's open season on the White Sox because it's easy. The easiest thing in town is to sit here every day and criticize the White Sox. And to hear guys like Garrett Crochet and Lance Lynn talk about how, boy, they really were not a first-class organization. I just think that you're Garrett Crochet. You were traded to a contender. You're going to be competing for a World Series. You're the ace of that staff. You signed a contract extension. This is the team that drafted you. Coming back, you don't have to make it sound like, well, now
you listen to the soundbite carefully. He talked about having big league player support, veteran support around him.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
I know.
That's nothing that the White Sox had, right? I mean, you know,
that's for you and me to say, I think.
No, but I mean, that was his wrap-up. It's like, man, I'm so happy to be in this other dugout. What would you say? Would you be more humble about it and just say, you know, I wish I was still with the White Sox making a minimum salary?
No.
I mean, he signed $170 million contract.
That's being delusional. Yeah. What it is that there are ways after you win the lottery and hit the jackpot, as he did, congratulations, just to sound a little bit more gracious for...
I think White Sox fans feel a lot like he does.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, Sox fans are fed up. As a fan, you have every right to feel fed up.
I mean, the Sox fans are pulling off the road right now and saying, why didn't we give him $170 million?
Would you have given him $170 million?
Not right now, no.
In this climate?
No.
Not even the economic climate.
I'd want him to pitch another year healthy.
I would be so concerned about signing any pitcher with an arm injury, which is worse, the fact that maybe somebody's had an arm injury or the fact that he hasn't suffered one yet and he's about to.
He didn't pitch a full season yet as a starter.
Right.
I mean, he did, but it was you know, the hybrid of pitching, going out there and throwing 60 pitches for the last 2 months.
This is probably what rubbed me wrong, too. Steve Greenberg wrote a really good story in the Sun-Times this morning, and he recounted the All-Star game last year in Texas. And he recounted a moment that Crochet, still in his game pants, hung around outside the clubhouse with family and friends celebrating. There weren't enough pictures in the world to mark the occasion. A lurking scribe asked him in that special moment if the prospect of playing for a better team before long was a light at the end of the tunnel. It is, he admitted. So, well, now...
So would you.
I suppose.
It's like, first of all... Let's set it right. He had 2 years left of control.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox chose to ignore that and just sign him up through arbitration, through free agency for a year or two, and say, look, this is a dominant arm, one of the best pitchers in the game right now. We're going to ignore the fact that he could get injured, and we're going to just give him the money that we feel he deserves and move on. It's a total different philosophy of where he was at, where, hey, he has 2 years left. We can get the most for him. They got four young players. You hope that two of them become really good players, right?
I know everything they got. Right. I know it makes sense. I know it was a good transaction, the trade that benefits both teams.
But for a fan base, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it just, when a guy comes back and he says it felt like the big leagues, you know, talking about his trade to the new team. Well, the old team... Doesn't
he was being honest?
Okay, if you say so.
I mean,
yeah, he's being honest.
Being mean.
He was definitely being mean. There's no doubt about it. Let's squeeze in a phone call 312-644-6767 from a guy who's not known to be mean. The friendliest guy in town, Ron. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. How are you,
David? I was just sitting here thinking, I enjoy you 5 days a week and enjoy you even more 6 days. So let me just get that out there. So, okay. Chase Meadroff, you know, I told Tyler I have to kind of get in when there's anything positive. So it was good to see him come up. It's just the way they described it. But, guys, I do have to mention, because what I was really looking forward to this season is seeing him and Colson Montgomery. Not that it's going to mean any wins, but just kind of get in the middle of that infield together. So, guys, I am concerned about Colson. I mean, he struggled last year. He's struggling again. And playing shortstop, he's not known, like, really for his defensive skill. So he's going to have to
be better.
And then lastly, I know they always talk about the weather, but got to get Robert to get going so you know, he can have some trade value. So those are my things, guys. You all have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. So, Bruce, what do you think about the way Chris Getz spoke about Colson Montgomery continuing to show confidence in him, even though he's struggling mightily?
We really don't have time to play the soundbite right now, but to capsulize it, he just said, hey, we have tremendous confidence. He's going to be here. He's going to be better. He believes it still. He hasn't lost any confidence. We haven't lost any confidence in him. Has this been a paid political announcement? No. That's just, you know, he really believes in the kid. And at 22, you know, he would be coming out in this draft this year, right? I mean, he would be coming out of college. So the 3 years, 3.5 years that he's been in the minor leagues, okay. I mean, he's extremely bad right now. He's hitting he's got 3 hits in 30-some-odd at-bats. So it's not...
.081.
Yeah, it's not really happening for him right now, but... You know, they believe in his talent. They believe it'll be there.
OPS is OMG.
I give him credit for one thing. They identified in spring training that he wasn't ready, and they put him where he needed to be.
All right. We will talk to somebody when we come back, Sox fans, who was everywhere he needed to be at the right time, right place, right time. Scott Podsednik, the 2005 World Series hero in town for celebratory weekend. We'll talk to him next on Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Podsednik hits one to deep right center field. Back at the wall. This ball is gone. Podsednik goes deep. His second home run of the postseason. And the White Sox win it 7-6.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's highlight never gets old, does it, Sox fans? 2005. Thank you, Joe Buck and Fox, for taking us down memory lane. And we go there now with Scotty Podsednik, who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you. There's nothing like a Friday night White Sox win and some 05 nostalgia to get this Saturday morning gin in.
Well, thank you for joining us. Bruce and I are looking forward to talking to you. It's been a while, and really curious what you think about this year's Sox team. Off to a tough start. They did explode for 11 runs. Scotty, that was last night. They scored more runs in one game than they had, I think, in the previous week. Where are you with what the Sox are doing this season, understanding how steep the climb really is?
Yeah, obviously the offense has been stuck in neutral to start the season. Finally got some guys on base yesterday. But I think as a whole, David, the at-bats for the White Sox in this early part of the season as a whole have been better than they were last year. You know, they're taking their walks. They're getting some guys on base. The problem is when they get runners first and second with nobody out, they can't seem to get with that big hit or advance that guy to third. But like you saw last night, you know, it's a cliche and it's used a lot, but it's because it's true. Hitting is contagious. Once you start getting some guys on base, you get some guys providing some energy. Like Mydroff did last night. It was very fun to see him come in and do what he did last night. Offense can kind of gain some energy and get going. So hopefully they can build some momentum of what happened last night and carrying it on in through this Boston series.
We heard from Garrett Crochet yesterday talking about, you know, in his kind of words, escaping to Boston from the White Sox and signing a $170 million contract. Scotty, from your own experience playing on teams that weren't good, how do you be a good teammate and still work on your own game and get through a season when you know the odds are extremely stacked against you and your team to win each night?
That's a good question, Bruce. And, you know, I think it just boils down to each individual player. You got to look yourself in the mirror and ask where does thy heart lie? You know, what motivates you? What are you here for? At the end of the day, these guys are professionals, and they're asked to come to the ballpark, regardless of the circumstances, to give their all. And it is tough when you're on a team and a club and you're not winning. The energy is low. But, you know, you have to dig deep in yourself, within yourself, to come to the park and try to get yourself motivated to go out and play hard in front of the fans. I was in Milwaukee the two previous seasons. We lost, I don't know, 99, 98 games. So then going from that to that team in 2005 was quite a jump. And it was a completely different attitude, a completely different mindset from some of those teams I've been on compared to that championship squad in 05. But it is different, you know, because the season's long. You spend so much time with these players within that clubhouse, and when you're not winning, it can wear on you. But, you know, these guys have to dig deep and find that energy within themselves to come to the ballpark and give the fans what they want.
We're talking with White Sox World Series hero Scott Podsednik here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Scott, so this spring you were in Arizona as a guest instructor for a while with the White Sox, and a lot of these young players you were able to give the benefit of your wisdom and experience. What was that like, and what stood out to you in terms of your impact on them?
No, I enjoyed it. It was fun to put the uniform back on, get out there on the fields. Arizona's a nice place to be during the springtime, so to be surrounded by these players, these guys fighting to try to break themselves into the big leagues, I enjoyed the heck out of it. And David, the pants still fit. So
that's an accomplishment right there.
Right. It was fun to put those back on and be joined with some of the other coaches. I got a chance to spend some time with Mike Gellinger, who was on that club in 05 with us. So, and to just talk baseball and to talk development and, And, you know, being in the game now and being away from the game for so many years, I have such a different perspective now than I did back when I was playing. So it's fun to share some of the hardships and things that I went through with some of these players, and to, you know, try to help them avoid some of the pitfalls and let them know what's going to be expected of them as professionals on a day in and day out basis. But I enjoyed the heck of it, and I was grateful that the White Sox asked me to come down and spend some time with the players.
I'd like to take you back to 2005 spring training. It's your first year with the White Sox after being traded from Milwaukee, and your conversations with Kenny Williams, with Rick Hahn, and in particular with Ozzie Guillen about what they expected you to be and how that transformation took place in your mind as well as, you know, physically doing it that year.
Yeah, so in 2003, I had a pretty good season offensively. And after the success I had my rookie year, I went into the winter and I said, well, if you can do this your first year in the big leagues, then we can be even better that sophomore year. So I found myself really trying to do too much. I came out of being Scott Podsednik. I hit 245. I got into where I was trying to pull the ball and do more damage than I was capable of doing. So I get traded to the White Sox, and I had a conversation with Greg Walker, our hitting coach at the time, and he said, look, I need you on base. I need you to find left field again. Basically what he was telling me was, look, you're a leadoff hitter. We need you to go out and play your game and be Scott Podsednik, and don't try to be somebody you're not. And it, you know, it helped me kind of grow in a sense of understanding how I was going to impact this ball club the best by just doing what I do. So I got back to playing my game, really focusing on my at-bats, trying to win every pitch and trying to get to first base. My strength was to reach first base and then try to get myself into scoring position and provide energy for that club. So fortunately, I was able, with communicating with Greg and Kenny Williams, I was able to improve and grow a little bit and go out and get back to being Scott Podsednik, which was that guy on base and providing energy at the top of the lineup.
Before I let you go, curious about your perspective on this. You were a guy that, before you really got a chance to play every day in Milwaukee, you toiled in the minor leagues for a long time. You had to have patience. You had to have persistence and perseverance and all of those things. We're talking this morning about Colson Montgomery struggling at AAA, going back. You know how much the Sox think of him and are planning on him to be part of their future. You see different approaches with different guys at the minors. Colson Montgomery might need some more time. Matt Shaw with the Cubs, he's been kind of rushed to play third base. He's their starter. He was drafted less than 2 years ago. What do you think when you see these different prospects come to the big leagues with maybe accelerated timetables and maybe knowing that some guys aren't ready yet?
Yes, and, you know, for me and for some of these players, you know, they've got the physical skill set to go out there and be great players. But when you start playing with some of the best players in the world to where the competition is just as good as you are, you're going to have those intangibles coming to the ballpark that it takes to be a professional day in and day out. Some of these young guys don't really know what's expected of him. They've never played the game against players of their caliber night in and night out. And if you're not prepared and in a place mentally to understand that you're going to get hit in the mouth, you're going to fail, you're going to have some rough patches, those slumps can expand and you look up and you're a month into a slump and you just don't know how to pull yourself out of it. So I think what these players do away from the field in terms of their preparation, their attitude and their mindset is just as important as their training and what they do to their physical skill set. But it's tough to play at that level night in and night out. You have to have some understanding of again, what's going to be asked and to be able to deal with the setbacks and the 0-for-4s. And I can tell you, I still was not in that place even in 05 when I was here. You know, each year you learn so much about yourself and about the league that you just try to continue to grow and make adjustments, you know, as you go on. But, you know, Colson Montgomery and these guys they've got the skill set, but they're going to have to figure out, you know, exactly what it takes to be a professional on a night in and night out basis.
I'll never forget the beginning of the year where I was, you know, trying to get interviews with you before the game, and you said, "Hey, Bruce, here's the deal for me. I'm so immersed in trying to get better and be the myself this year that I have to put all my time in a pregame into getting ready. Anything you need after a game, I'm there for you. But before games, I'm just not going to be available. And I found that fascinating that you had that mindset at that time and that you knew what you had to do in your mind to be not only physically ready, but mentally ready for those games.
Bruce, I think that goes back to watching my dad work his tail off my entire childhood. He always instilled, hey, son, don't take anything for granted. Work your tail off and get yourself prepared and let the chips fall where they may. So, you know, I spent so long in the minor leagues. When I finally broke in and got the opportunity in the big leagues, I didn't want to take it for granted. I wanted to take advantage of that opportunity, and I didn't want to leave anything to chance. Now, that sometimes that can be a double-edged sword. You know, I was obsessed in my game and trying to develop my game, and sometimes that can work against you. But, you know, I felt like when it was all said and done, I wanted to give it my all, whether that be preparing or what I was doing out on the field. But I think that boils down to watching my dad to get yourself prepared to go out to compete. I wanted to try to have any edge I could out on that baseball field. So, you know, I may not have been the most talented guy out there, but I wanted to try to be as prepared and to work just as hard as anyone out there I was competing against.
That's a great memory, Scott. And speaking of great memories, what are you doing today? What are you going to be doing out there? Are you sitting in the Scotty Pacedic seat out in left field?
Well, I'm doing some talking with some sweet holders. I'm actually throwing out the first pitch today, Hall. So I hope I don't bounce it this morning. I'll try to get one over the plate.
Better stretch.
You know, he's the leadoff man for the White Sox 2005 celebration. What could be more appropriate, right? The guy that led exactly. off all their, you know, games during the year. So it's part of the celebration, right, Scotty? The 2005 weekends for the Chicago White Sox this summer.
100%. You know, when I get off that plane there in O'Hare and I'm coming in and I see the skyline of this city, and then you go a little farther south and you see Wright Field, my mind goes to one place, you know, what that group was able to accomplish in 2005. So like you said earlier, it doesn't get stale, and it continues to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, guys.
Enjoy it today, Scotty. Great talking with you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Scott Pacednik, White Sox World Series hero from 2005 in town to start the celebration, the season-long celebration of that great World Series 20 years ago. All right, Bruce, when we come back, Kyle Tucker, people are talking about him. We'll talk about him a little bit more next based on what someone said in the media. Again, it's Kyle Tucker week here at The Score. It's inside the clubhouse, and we'll be back after this.
0-2-1, Kyle Tucker. Tucker had an RBI single his first time. He drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Kyle Tucker with a home run to right. His first at Wrigley Field as a member of the Cubs. And the Cubs now open up a 7-3 lead.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you, Pat Hughes, for that highlight from Kyle Tucker last weekend, his first home run at Wrigley Field. Bruce, the education of Kyle Tucker at Wrigley Field continued this week. He learned a lot as we continued to find out more about him. He can do everything, but he learned a lot about playing at Wrigley Field.
Well, he did. He found out about the dark corners at night and balls going over your head down that line, and, you know, face plants that are possible. You know, when you're approaching that line, there's an inch between fair territory and the wall. It's, you know, I mean, there's no one that's mastered left field like Ian Happ has. I mean, he's the master of left field out there. But right field has always been considered one of the toughest outfields in all of baseball, if not the toughest. And a lot of it's always been said about the sun at 3 o'clock, and, you know, that trying to be able to see the ball. But I always consider, since they've had night games since 88, that the corners are an impossibility because the light for some reason, no matter how great the lighting is, and the LED lighting is great at Wrigley, you can't get into those corners.
I hope he has at least a decade to get used to the elements out there. And by then, they will have King Tuck's court out in the right field bleachers, and that he somehow finds a way to sign a contract to stay in Chicago, which was the source of Jeff Passan on ESPN, the latest media type to weigh in on the potential future of Kyle Tucker and the Cubs.
You know what I'm going to do here, Buster? I'm going to give some hope to Chicago Cubs fans, because we have seen, like, let's parallel the Cubs and the Blue Jays. The Cubs have gone, they haven't gone after Ohtani or Soto with the same level of fervor that they should have. But it was because Tom Ricketts is unwilling to spend. And that narrative, once it starts chasing you, and once it starts, like, bumming out your fans, I think it gets to owners after time. And I don't think Tom Ricketts wants his, like, I don't think he wants his reputation to be the cheap Cubs owner. If you have the chance to sign this guy after giving up Isak Paredes and Cam Smith and Hayden Wisniewski for him, and all you get back if you don't sign him is, like, not even a first-round draft pick, I mean, to me, it screams that this is a situation in which Tom Ricketts has to go outside of his comfort zone and keep a franchise type player around, because we see the impact, Buster, that he's had on that lineup. It's profound. I mean, the Cubs are a completely different team with him in the middle of that order than they are otherwise.
Quick reaction, Bruce.
Star player. Tom wants stars just as much as anybody does. Does it fit into their plans? He would tell you baseball ops gets the projected payroll amount, and they do with it what they want. In this case, that necessarily wouldn't be true, because if you're investing $500 million in a player, your owner is going to be deeply involved in
it. The unanswerable question, can the Cubs afford Kyle Tucker? That's not the question. Can they afford not to sign Kyle Tucker? A lot of conversation about that. We'll ask our next guest, perhaps, about the Kyle Tucker impact on the rest of the Cubs in that batting order. Cliff Floyd works with Bruce at Marquee Sports. We'll talk to him next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.